Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
You get the idea? Bring me
a dream. It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips.
Like it's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
And tell him that his lonesome.
Here's the Sandman. Over
Sandman. Every time there's a major tax change, people are always trying to figure out how to take advantage of it. Well, this morning we're going to be talking about taxes. After all, this is our boot camp series, and you need to get in shape so you can save more money and have more to do the things you want to do. Good morning. I am David Hollander, your host, and I'll be your drill sergeant this entire month as we roll out our New Year's resolution boot camp. It's so great to be with you this morning. We have a huge game this afternoon. The Niners will be playing the Seahawks. And of course, we know what'll happen. Niners all the way. Do I have a great show planned for you today? For those of you just joining me for the first time, welcome. People around here, they call me the Sandman. You hear the jingle. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal and financial questions. We are living in such an exciting time right now. This past year, we saw things we haven't seen in stocks or bonds since 2008. And before that, it went all the way back to 1976. Add to that, Congress just passed the Secure Tax Act 2.0. Some of us are calling it the son of secure. That just changed the tax law. And there are some major changes coming to your IRA, pensions, 529 accounts, Roths, not to mention your inheritance. That's right. The law has changed, and this is quite possibly one of the biggest changes we've seen in some time. Let me ask you a question. Are you prepared? This is not just about the RMD going to 73. There's a lot more behind this in these 500 pages of legislation. And it seems that anytime there's a sweeping change to tax laws, everyone goes into a frenzy trying to figure out how to navigate all the new rules and not get hurt. This new tax law has been touted as a game changer for Americans who want to retire. But will it deliver as promised? What are the surprises that could really impact your retirement just when you're ready to hang it up? How do you take advantage of the loopholes that are in there? Well, stay tuned as I help you decode and decipher the new Secure Act 2.0. If you're at or near retirement, then this episode is one that you don't want to miss out on as I take you through a 45-minute retirement boot camp to help make all your New Year's resolutions a reality by turning the tax rules back on the government. It's a brand new year. Take a big gulp of your ritual coffee. Get your notes open with a pencil. That's how I do it. And get ready to become clear on your mission, soldier. It's going to be a great show, so keep it right here. Now, let's get started. This was a great week in the market. Stock and bonds both up. And this was a result of inflation for a third straight month dropping. The Dow was up 2% for the week. S&P 500 up 2.7%. NASDAQ up 4.8%. The MSCI International Index was up 3.3%. Very strong so far year to date. The 10-year Treasury and bonds. So yields dropped on the 10-year and bonds were up. In fact, bonds are up right now year to date 3.4%. Oil was up 8.4% for the week. Real big week for oil, closing in at $80 a barrel. And this was all a result of the CPI. Remember, we were talking last week about that, inflation, and how inflation is going to continue to drive this market. The data and the big news this past week was the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, which is evidently, the market seems to think so, a big indication of what's going on with inflation. Let's just call it what it is. So the December inflation number came in this past week. We're all waiting to see what happens because the Fed is a direct responder to that. And it came in pretty good. In fact, it showed that Inflation for the third month in a row is down. But we're talking about peanuts. It was down 0.1%. Okay, I'll take it. Core CPI, which is a little different, was up 0.3%. So because the CPI, also known as inflation, met the market expectation, and you had a couple more Fed officials this past week saying, well, you know, in February, we're only going to raise rates 25 basis points. This is what's caused the increase in markets that I just talked about. So looking at inflation metrics just themselves, the overall headline reading of the CPI definitely was positive. It dropped a little bit better than was expected. But it's important to note that almost all of the drop was driven by the decline in gasoline prices. If you look at what's called the core CPI, that excludes food and energy, that did ease lower to 5.7%. And that's good, but remember what the Fed said. They wanted around 2%. So you got a long way to go, is what I'm trying to say. And the question is, well, how do markets perform when you've got the Fed about to pivot or to change the direction? Now, I want to paint the backdrop here, because this is, in my world, this is exciting stuff. And I want to try and make it exciting to you, because I want to educate you on what you're going to be hearing over the next 2 to 3 months. It's going to be, I'm going to call it the Charles Dickens tale of two cities. Okay. And that's what we're seeing right now. You're seeing a brewing of one side of the house saying one thing, the other side of the house, and I'm talking about the Wall Street house, saying another. So it's like two brothers arguing. That's where we are right now, if you just want to visually paint the picture. The first version, this is what you're probably going to hear more of as the weeks unfold. I happen to be somewhat in this camp, but I'm more in the other. Ready? Here we go. So how do markets perform when the Fed stops? Well, over the past 40 years, the Fed has paused 7 times after ending their tightening cycles. Following the last Fed rate hike, policymakers held rates steady for about 6 months on average after that. Now, the range over that time cycle, and I'm looking from 1984 up to 2018, was about a month on the low end to a little bit over a year on the long end. So that's why I'm saying an average of around 6 months. Now, let's call it 6 months. That's when they would start to cut rates to stimulate the economy. So that's the pivot. Stocks performed strongly in 5 of those 6 instances. And they only declined once, and it was pretty modest. In fact, it was down about 2%. So what sort of areas do well? Well, investment grade bonds. They experienced above average returns as yields peaked a couple of months before the last rate hike. If you look at what just happened, that's pretty similar to what we just saw. Here's something else interesting to think about. Again, this is just all looking at history. Technology was the best performing sector, probably because of easing yields and financial conditions, with the exception of the Fed pause we saw in 2000. You all may remember 2000, the tech bubble burst. I certainly do. I remember my friends packing up their U-Hauls and driving down the street. They lost their house, lost everything. So there's an argument out there right now that a Fed pause can be a catalyst for lower bond yields, which mean higher bond prices and higher stock prices. Now, I want you to contrast that with the opposite, the contrast. This is where I'm going with this. I think the market outlook right now is a lot like what it was about a month ago. Remember when we started out in December? If you go back and listen to the podcast, again, I think you should listen to the podcast. We were talking at the beginning of December of how we thought the market had got a little ahead of itself, a little over its skis. And I'm going to call that out right now. I'm going to say that the S&P 500 has gotten a little bit beyond where it needs to be. Because remember, we finished the day on Friday, yesterday, at 39.99, almost 4,000. So just like I warned back in December, I think the market is vulnerable to a pullback, which if you remember in December, it happened. And so I'm again warning you right now, the potential outcome is markets have again drifted out of what I'll call the fundamental support zone. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not saying that conditions have deteriorated since December. If that CPI came in a lot worse than it did, I wouldn't be saying that this morning. But I'm saying that that was good news. I like it. It just wasn't as good as it could have been. And over the past few days, I think investors have become a little bit enthusiastic welcoming this soft, because it is soft, economic data. And I just don't think the data right now supports the prices that we're seeing. So the bottom line right now is the macroeconomic outlook is clear. Inflation, economic growth, and the labor market are doing better. But how that data starts to unfold, particularly over the next couple months, is really what's going to determine the next 10 to 15% of this market. And I feel it's more to the downside than the upside. So right now, the current situation that we're seeing is that the Fed is going to be highly data dependent, and they're going to do what the numbers are saying. So don't get, you know, swayed into this, is what I'm trying to say. What does that mean? Well, on the S&P 500, your support level on the downside right now, because we hit 39.99, should be roughly 38.40 as a support. If we break that, I'm seeing 37.20. And if we break that, it's 36.57. So it's gotten a little bit better than a couple of weeks ago where I was calling for 34.50. 36.57 is sort of the end of the cycle there. All right. Now on the upside, if we can go through the 39.99, 4020 is next. So not a big amount of range there. So what do you do? What do you own? What do you trade when we're in this sort of environment? Well, utilities, healthcare, consumer staples, longer dated bonds, including treasuries and investment grade corporates. And from a factor standpoint, value ETFs and minimum volatility ETFs. And I think it's not premature to take a look at quality. I'm talking about quality parts of technology, maybe a little early on that, but that's what I'm saying today. So remember, the bottom line is the Fed is going to react to what the market says. And we are seeing that right now. Keep it tuned right here, because when I come back, think you need to take your RMD this year? Well, maybe not. Find out how. Keep it tuned right here. You're listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Show. We'll be right back.
You can ask The Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free, anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman. And you are listening this morning to Protect Your Assets. Well, Congress did it again. They just passed the Secure Tax Act 2.0. This snuck in the last week of December, and it has some major changes in it that will affect your IRA. It is the law now. Roth's pension accounts, 529s, it's all in there. So the law has changed, and this is quite possibly one of the biggest changes we've seen in a while, and how you're going to pay taxes on these different types of accounts. So are you prepared? Well, this entire month, we are helping you get prepared for your New Year's resolutions, which hopefully one of them was saving more money, maybe paying less taxes, maybe doing some things that you always wanted to do. And so if that was your New Year's resolution, well, we're helping you with our basic training all month as we do our boot camp series. So the year in which a taxpayer must take their minimum distribution, this is also known as the required minimum distribution, has changed. And this has been the big headline, if you will, and people just put it to bed. But there's so much more to this than just that. Let's just start simply. It has changed to 73 rather than the 72 that it was, or the 70 and a half it was a few years ago. So let's be clear about that starting this year, 2023. If you're 73 or older, you need to take your RMD, period, end of story. The rule has increased that age limit to 75 by 2033. We'll see how the regulations talk about, will that ramp up, and if so, how, and over what period of time. But for now, it's safe to say 73 is the date to plan on. Well, is that a big deal? Not really, because if you had to take it at 72, well, guess what? You're 73 this year, so it really didn't matter much to you. And if you did take it last year when you were 72, well, hopefully you didn't take it. Because if you didn't get the word and you took it, it's kind of too late to put it back. So in any event, that's the way that goes. But let's talk about some of the other things in here, because this gets a little bit more technical as you get into the new rules about how these things pay out. So let's give you a little bit of history here. First of all, the IRS did publish a life expectancy table as a result of the Father of Secure Son 2.0. Under the original The Secure Act, the big deal was the stretch. You used to be able to stretch your IRA if you started taking your RMDs before 2020. You could stretch it over the beneficiary's life expectancy. Well, that changed as a result of Secure Act to 10 years, and in some cases 5 years if you're dealing with what's called the ghost beneficiary rule. So we've got a much shorter time period now where you have to take this money out of the account when you inherit it. Now, if you're inheriting IRAs from your parents or maybe brothers or sisters, you're going to fall into this new rule. And so as we talk about a spouse inheriting an IRA, it becomes very clear that now is the time to take a look at your beneficiary designation form, because the rule has changed again. So don't just think that you did it last year and everything's fine. Well, no, it just changed. In fact, the new law says that for a spouse, the spouse can elect to either keep his or her, or they, I guess, spouse's distribution record when they inherit the account, meaning that one spouse passes away, they were already taking RMD right now, say in 2022 or 2023. They pass away. Their spouse then receives the account via the beneficiary designation saying it's going to my spouse, which, by the way, I had this happen this week. We had a really interesting case. I had a client who lives in Arizona, and her attorney who created the trust in Arizona got on the phone with us. We did a call together in the sun, and we were talking about the beneficiary designation through the trust that they had created, California law versus Arizona law. And I learned something, which was that in Arizona trusts, beneficiaries are protected through revocable trusts. California, it's not the case. In fact, I plan on doing a whole show on this subject about asset protection and retirement accounts. But let me back up. For the new rule, this is a federal requirement now, the spouse has the ability to change their RMD to their spouse's. So in other words, let's just say your RMD would be a certain level based on your age and the life expectancy table of the IRS. Well, you don't have to take that. You could change it to your spouse's if you wanted to. And that would allow you a period of time where you know how you would take that out. Now, this changes dramatically when it goes to the next generation. So when you start to pass these accounts down to a beneficiary that's not a spouse, all bets are off. And that's where the 10-year liquidation rule applies, and that's where you have to take all that money out over a 10-year period of time. Now, I get this question all the time. Does it matter whether you take it out in the first year of the 10-year, or equally over 5 years, or equally over 10 years, or you wait 7 or 8 years till you retire and then take big chunks for the remaining 3 years? All those are certainly possible. And some people get really hung up on, well, what if I did an account like this and I have this one this way and that way? Believe me, it can get very, very complicated. And so it really makes sense to talk to somebody who is experienced and an expert in these sort of accounts. There is certification out there. There are classes out there that advisors can take. You may have heard of a gentleman by the name of Ed Slott. Ed's nationally known as an expert in IRAs. We are taking his training. So Ed Slott is an expert in this area, and I find that there's lots of great information through Mr. Slott's program. And so you really need to understand when you start to look at these things, what can happen. Now, what else was contained in this legislation? Another big one was when it comes to SEP IRAs. So if you have a SEP IRA, well, guess what? You now have the ability to not only contribute to, but grow Roth IRA funds in that SEP arrangement. This was not around under SECURE, but under SECURE Act 2.0, it is now the rule. So this is something that can happen, and that is a very, very good thing. Now, the other thing that can happen as well under this is the contribution is now indexed. So remember, if you're over 50 and perhaps you were doing catch-up contributions, the catch-up contribution starting at age 50 now can be treated as a Roth contribution for those high-income employees, those earning over $145,000 in the prior year adjusted for inflation. And these catch-up provisions for people ages 60 through 63 have new special catch-up contributions amount. Because inflation has run crazy the last couple of years, you can now do the greater of $10,000. This is indexed for inflation starting in 2026. Or get this, 150% of your standard catch-up contribution in 2024. So there is the ability now to put away much more money. Now, Rothification continued in that there are some additional things that apply to Roth. And so we'll talk about that in the next segment because that in itself is fairly complex. But what I want to talk about is that tax planning is obviously not simple. In fact, it can be very confusing, particularly as you start to look at the options of how and when you do things. And so that's why it makes a lot of sense to map all this out in numbers and in a plan so you can see ahead of time of what's coming your way and then make decisions before they happen. If you're like most people, the deeper you get into the tax code, the more you realize it's written in pencil and you need help. And that's why it makes a lot of sense to meet with our team who looks at these sorts of decisions every day. Don't forget, in my office, we have a CPA. We have an estate planning attorney. We have a certified financial planner. All who work as a team to help you through making decisions as you look at these sort of issues that the law has now created for you to make. We can help you achieve your goals by keeping more of those tax dollars in your pocket. Think about that. Would you rather spend more money on taxes or keep more in your pocket? Well, if the answer is obvious to you, then pick up the phone right now and give us a call, because right now, for absolutely no charge, I will do the SECURE Act 2.0 tax analysis for you right now. Pick up the phone, 866-PROTECT, the number to call right now to get your free SECURE Act 2.0 tax analysis is 866-776-8328. Reduce your tax liability right now. Keep more of what you earned. 866-PROTECT. Now, coming up here next on Protect Your Assets, it's time for our popular They Say segment, where they say you should make a Roth IRA contribution every single time. Is that really true? We'll find out the new answers to the Roth. There's so much more to come. It always pays you to keep it tuned right here. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show with David Hollander. That's me. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice. Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman. Nothing will keep
us together. Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And yes, Congress did it again. They passed a big tax law that will affect your retirement account. So this entire month, we're doing a retirement boot camp where we talk about ways to help you save more money to help you achieve your goals. Maybe this year, your goal was to retire. And if it was, well, you need to know what we're talking about this morning. All right, so let's get back into this Secure Act 2.0. And now let's change to our They Say segment. It's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and just sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? Here's David Hollander, the Sandman's answer.
All I know is that I don't. All right, so here's one they say. I just heard it this week. They say that Roth IRAs always make sense, and if you can contribute, you should. Well, is that always true? No, it's not. So let's start out with who should not convert to a Roth IRA. I find that people get so excited about paying less taxes that they do dumb things. And so I'll just tell you right off the bat, not everybody should convert, and some people shouldn't convert all of their account just because they think it sounds like a good idea. So here's a little bit of a list you can go through to see if you should be somebody who converts. First, I'm going to say seniors. Seniors in California are defined in a number of different ways. If you're over 60, hate to say it, but the law says you're a senior. So if you're over 60, may need the money, say, in the next 5 or 6 years, then you should not convert. No one should go broke converting if they need the funds to live on. Number two, those who believe they will be in a lower tax bracket in retirement should not convert. Three, those who just cannot bring themselves to pay the tax, especially on a large IRA, or those who don't trust the government to keep the tax-free deal, because remember, the tax code is written in pencil, then you shouldn't do it. And how do you know that? Well, it's a gut feeling. You know, and I would recommend that you know what the tax will be, or roughly what it'll be, before you convert. That is possible. You can figure that out. So don't just go do a massive conversion, and then you get the tax bill here in April, and you're going, oh my gosh, what happened? Number four, those who do not have available, this is important, non-retirement assets or cash to pay the tax due on the conversion. Listen to what I just said. If you're converting from an IRA to a Roth, the best benefit you're going to get from that is if you don't use your tax money to pay your taxes. Meaning this, let's say you have $100,000 in an IRA and you want to convert that to a Roth. You want to roll over that whole $100,000. If you're someone who rolls over, say, $72,000 and leaves $28,000 there to pay the tax, that's not the best way to do it. So if you're one of those types of people, think about it. If you don't have cash or other assets outside to pay the tax, then maybe you shouldn't do a conversion. Number five, anyone who asks how soon they can take the money out. If they're going to need the money immediately, why do a Roth IRA? Six, those who have a charity named as an IRA beneficiary. Again, the charity will not have to pay income tax when that charity inherits the IRA. So why would you want to pay taxes now on a Roth conversion? Seven, anyone who is not sure if they will have the funds to pay the tax on the Roth conversion because the conversion can no longer be recharacterized. Remember that was new in this 2.0. You can no longer go back. So once you do the Roth conversion, you're done. It cannot be undone. Remember that. Number eight, anyone receiving financial aid based on income might not want an income spike in those years. So Roth conversion might not be a good idea because it could completely disqualify you. All right. So there's eight reasons why the Roth IRA doesn't always make sense. Now, what are some things that Congress told us through this new legislation about the Roth in general? Well, first and foremost, I'm going to call it Rothification. There is more Rothification in this legislation, and that makes sense. Why? Well, because Congress wants more of your tax money. That's why. And if you're doing Roth conversions, well, guess what? You got to pay the tax now. You're paying more taxes now, and of course, they want the money now. So I'm going to say there is more Rothifications through this new Secure Act 2.0. Why is that? Well, because like I said in the previous segment, Congress has now allowed Roths in SEPs and simples. That's a way to, frankly, get more money. Also, you may want to consider Roths as a way for estate planning purposes. This is where I'll digress and say, for those of you who can afford to do this, it might make some sense, because the SECURE Act requires all inherited IRAs and other retirement accounts to be paid out over 10 years to your non-spouse beneficiaries. I went into that in a little bit of detail last segment. But remember, a Roth conversion is a great thing to think about if you're planning on passing on that retirement account to your children or your sister or your brother, a non-spousal beneficiary. Well, why? Well, because the money is going to go to them all tax-free. So even though you have to take it out all over the 10 years as the beneficiary, each of those payments that you receive would be income tax-free. Now, remember, if it's in a Roth, you still have to take it out over the 10 years. It doesn't mean just because it's in a Roth, you avoid that. And for most people, estate and generation skipping taxes being tax-free, well, that would be a great thing. And remember, right now, the estate tax exemption amount is 12.9, you heard me right, with inflation, $12.9 million per person. That will be adjusted at the end of 25 back to the previous law, factored in for inflation. So essentially, that could probably go around $6 million. So you'll see a full loss of a roughly $14 million if you're thinking about a married couple trying to transfer assets to their kids. Now, if you have to pay taxes on this, remember there's the 3.8% Medicare tax, which would also be avoided if your beneficiary were to receive this account through your inheritance. That allows potential tax-free growth and better distribution strategies when you're looking at that next generation taking it out. So another thing you could think about is paying the income tax now. Well, how would that work? Here's something that I encourage some people to do when you're on the fence about a Roth IRA. You could consider doing what's called a partial conversion. This is where you convert a piece or a small part of your IRA into a Roth, and that can allow you to at least get started on the program. Well, how would you think about that? Well, let's say that you're a married tax filer filing jointly, and your income is $300,000. Under the 24% federal tax bracket, you have about $40,000 more that you could still do and pay the 24%. So what you might think about doing is taking $40,000 now in 2023 out of your IRA and converting that into a Roth. Again, pay the tax from your non-qualified or your trust account or your bank account where you're not making any interest. Use that money to pay the tax on the $40,000 conversion. And you convert that entire $40,000 into your Roth IRA, and then you invest that so that money can now grow and compound tax-free. And furthermore, if you designate the beneficiary being your children, then that money will pass outside of your estate, and that will also be tax-free to them as part of your distribution upon death. So this is a way where you can help multiple beneficiaries pass on more money tax-free and keep so much more in your family. Now, I know this is complicated stuff and you need to take a deep breath and take a step back, but ultimately you should be talking to people who are qualified and knowledgeable about the way that you can take advantage of these new rules. That's why it makes a lot of sense to meet with our team at the Liberty Group, who looks at these sorts of decisions every day. You know, if clients don't ask questions, then we can't answer them. And last week was a great example of how we had another attorney in a different state, a client, her son located in another state, talking through the situation. Well, what if this happened? Well, what if that happens? What's a good strategy here? What if, you know, you don't want to do it that way? This is the only way that you can actually go through your situation, because it probably is very unique, particularly when you look at where your kids live. They may not live in California. So whether your estate is under the estate tax amount of $12.9 million or over that amount, it makes a lot of sense to think about these things as you're planning the distribution of these accounts out to your family when you pass away. Do it before you're not here, because once you're not here, it's too late. If you want to talk about these kind of things, you can pick up the phone right now and talk to me. Call this number, 866-PROTECT. Again, 866-PROTECT. We'd love to see you in the office. We do have some of the best coffee in the Bay Area. We have free parking. We have a friendly staff. And we'd love to see you in our office. Give us a call right now, 866-PROTECT, where we can set up a complimentary 15, 20-minute review. We can even do it over Zoom if that's easier for you. And talk about how some of these new rules will affect you. Again, 866-PROTECT to find out what you may not know. John D. Rockefeller said it best, the surest way to accumulate wealth is to not pay tax on income you are not using. Are you going to take all that 529? Well, if you've got some money sitting in an account like that and your kids aren't using it, find out the best way to do that now under the Secure Act 2.0. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Show. When we come back, we'll be talking about that. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free, anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now, back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman. And you are listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And we've created this particular episode especially for you because at the Liberty Group, we help our clients by integrating their investments and their tax planning. And that's because investment planning that incorporates tax efficiency, in my opinion, is the best kind of plan that you can do. The Secure Act 2.0 was just passed by Congress, basically the last weeks of December. We've been discussing this morning about how you can take advantage of that. And the best thing you can do right now is to plan smart. And that's what we do with our clients proactively. Think of it this way. When was the last time your advisor asked to see a copy of your tax return? Let that sink in for a moment. You're listening to today's show so you could understand some of this new tax reform and how it will impact you and your bank account. And maybe how you could take advantage of some of the new changes that just occurred in this big, thick tax code. And if your advisor doesn't know your tax situation intimately, if they aren't asking to review your tax return each year, well, that should be a concern, because how could your plan be tax efficient if your investment advisor doesn't understand your tax situation? It's a good question, and I can tell you as somebody who's been doing this for almost 30 years that you cannot have an investment strategy that is tax efficient and fully integrated without first understanding your individual tax situation each and every year, because let's face it, it does change. It changes quite radically sometimes, and it's like a radiologist not looking at an x-ray or a CAT scan but telling you where the break is. How could they possibly know if they didn't look at the film? All right, now let's get back to Secure Act 2.0 and the 529. Did you set up a 529 for your kids? Well, if you're like me, you probably did. And now that they're out of college, did you use all the money that was sitting in that account? If you didn't, well, guess what? Congress just passed this law, Secure Act 2.0, which says now that you can take those 529 plans and you can roll those over to a Roth IRA for the benefit of your child. Think about that. Now you can actually set up a Roth IRA for your kids using that 529 money, which potentially may never get tapped because they're done with school. Exciting. This will actually become effective in 2024, and the amount is $35,000, and you must have the account open for at least 15 years. Doesn't mean it had to be 15 years at the same institution. As long as we can show that you established it over 15 years ago, maybe it bounced around a little bit, that's okay. So if you need help with that, I know it is a little bit complicated. I know these things are moving targets in some respect. We would be more than happy to map that out for you as part of your plan and figure out how do you take advantage of this new rule. I know this is complicated stuff and you probably need a team of experts working on your side. Well, remember, in our office, We are local. We have a CPA, we have an estate planning attorney, and team of financial advisors who work with you. And if you think about it, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So take a deep breath through your nose, inhale through your nose, exhale through your mouth, and picture a day when you don't have to worry about money, taxes, or what you're going to do in retirement anymore. Picture a day when you're standing on a deck in Hawaii looking at the Pacific. Wouldn't that be nice right now? Trying to decide if you should go snorkeling or surfing. It's warm outside. Your wife catches your eye and thanks you for making this the best vacation ever. Picture a day when you can relax, travel, and finally do all the things you've always wanted to do. Well, it starts with our Tax Secure Act 2.0 analysis. And this report is available right now for you, but you have to call me right now. 866-PROTECT, 866-PROTECT. Pick up the phone, talk to a member of my team right now, and find out what's in this new law and how it benefits you. 866-776-8328. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team, my executive producer, network manager, Kevin Renfer, and of course, all my fabulous producers there picking up the phone, Phil, Cam, Adrian, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. Thanks again, everybody. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal or tax specialists, and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.